الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله
اكبر الله اكبر لا اله الا الله الصف سيدي المكمل في المعلق بس الله اكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى إن علينا للهدى وإن لنا للآخرة والأولى فأنذرتكم نارا تلظى لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous session, we covered roughly the first half of Surah Al-Layl, in which we mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah outlines the path of two groups of people, the successful people and the wretched people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain actions that the good people will do that will guide them to the yusra, to the jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions certain actions that the wretched people will do that will lead them to Jahannam. And out of these sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, that they do not fulfill their monetary obligations, يعني they do not give their zakat and they do not give their sadqa-i-wajiba. So continuing from this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّهُ. Generally within the surah there's roughly around three themes, three messages, and we are now coming to the end of the first message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their wealth will not benefit them. وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ, their wealth will not benefit them. إِذَا تَرَدَّهُ, when they fall, يعني when they fall into Jahannam. As we know, it is upon every single one of us to cross the Sirat and the bridge of Sirat on the day of Qiyamah, and the bridge will be over Jahannam. The people who are destined to go into Jannah will pass the bridge at various speeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who pass this bridge with the blink of an eye. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And there will be other people who are destined for Jahannam. They will struggle and eventually they will fall into Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying when they are falling into Jahannam, at that time this wealth will not benefit them. They did not fulfill their monetary obligations due to greed for wealth and miserliness and stinginess. They felt scared of poverty, that if I spend this wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I give to the poor, then I will become poor. The fear of poverty and the fear of losing out. The fact of the matter is that giving sadaqah and giving, fulfilling our monetary obligations does not decrease our wealth. It brings barakah and blessings into our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so mentions that it was due to their miserliness and their fear of poverty that they held on to that wealth. And now when they are crossing the pul sirat, this wealth that they, you know, they gathered together, that's not going to help them at this time. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alayna lalhuda," verily it is upon us to guide. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse can have various meaning. Just one of the meanings can be that just like everything in existence, everything that happens in the world and beyond happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It happens with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined. And just like this, guidance is also in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you want guidance, then it's alayna, then it's upon us. So turn to us and we will guide you. Other mufassirin have written that the meaning can, is a very similar meanings, qaribul ma'ana. The other meanings can be that it is upon us, our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this upon himself, that he has put the signs of Allah out there for us to see. And then he has given us tools to view and to process these signs. Like Allah has given us eyes so we can see the world and everything in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ears. And likewise, Allah has given us senses so that we can consider and process those signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aql, intellect. And this intellect itself should bring us to one conclusion, and one conclusion alone. And that is that for everything, there must have been one creator. And that is none other than one God, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some mufassirin have said that ala in Arabic has various meanings. Normally it means upon. And sometimes in this situation, it normally takes the responsibility. It takes the meaning of something being someone being responsible for something, the responsibility of something being upon someone. However, some mufassirin have said that ala here is in the ma'na of ila, and ila means towards. So they translate it as towards is the guidance. Ya'ni that if you want guidance, then you have to come to us, because only with Allah is the guidance. And misguidance is with everyone else, with shaitan and with the dunya and with all the other paths besides the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. And verily, the hereafter and the dunya, the world, this life is in our control. فَأَنْظَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. So I warn you, فَأَنْذَرْتُكُمْ, I warn you of a fire which is blazing, a blazing fire. So what this means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns and is in control of and is the creator of the dunya and the akhirah. And so if you turn to anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are doomed to failure. And the message, the general message in these verses is that a commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning he outlines the path of the good, the path of the bad. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there's only one way to succeed, and that is by coming towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. Nobody will enter it. Int over here means نَارًا تَلَضَّى. Yani nobody will enter the blazing fire. إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. Except the wretched one. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. The one who turned, who rejected. كَذَّبَ, who rejected. وَتَوَلَّى, and he turned away. Now, over here, a question can arise. And the question is that we know from Quran and Hadith that there are two groups of people that will, well, generally on the day of Qiyamah, there are three groups of people. One group of people are the kuffar. They will enter Jahannam, and they will enter Jahannam forever, and they will not come out of Jahannam. The second group of people are the Muslims, the good Muslims. They will enter into, well, technically there's four groups of people. The second group of people, they are Muslims, they are good Muslims, they will enter into Jannah, straight into Jannah, and they will not come out of Jannah. They will stay in Jannah forever and ever. Then the third group of people are those Muslims who are sinful. So they passed away with Iman. However, their sins were dominant over their good deeds. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them to Jahannam for a period of time. And the punishment cleanses their sins. And then eventually they will go into Jannah. And then I mentioned the fourth group of people are actually a group of people whose sins and good deeds are the same. This group of people will be held back, and they will reside in a place called A'raf. A place called A'raf, which exists between Jannah and Jahannam. It's a place where the people of A'raf is mentioned in the Quran, Wanada Ashabul A'raf, in the 8th juz, in the beginning of the final quarter. So, from this place in A'raf, it'll be between Jannah and Jahannam. From there, they will be able to see Jannah and all of its, you know, the niceties and the blessings. And they will also be able to see Jahannam, and they will be able to see the punishment and the punishments in Jahannam. So, in the verse over here, it says, لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. Nobody will enter it except the wretched one who rejected and turned away. However, we know that Muslims who did not reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and did not turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will also enter Jahannam. So it seems like there is a sort of contradiction between these two facts. So the answer is very simple. There's various different answers that the scholars have given. The main accepted answer is that over here, when it mentions the entering into Jahannam, it means the entering into Jahannam forever and ever. Okay? So it means the entering into Jahannam forever and ever. So the people who are only temporarily going to reside in Jahannam, there will be an exception here. They will be exempted from what is mentioned here. Also, various groups of people, they have interpreted these incorrectly and become groups that have gone astray. But inshallah, we'll mention that in a little while. Other answers include that which Qadi Sanaullah Panipati rahimahullah has mentioned in his tafsir. He mentions that this verse is actually very talking specifically about the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what it's saying is that at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people who disbelieved and they turned away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will enter into Jahannam forever and ever. That's fine. That's accepted. Obviously, the kuffar, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, and their group, they didn't accept Islam. They died on kufr, and they will enter into Jahannam. That's fine. That's accepted. Now, the second part, with regard to the Muslims who had sinned at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, that the simple answer is, and there's going to be a long answer, and the simple answer is that no such people existed under this category at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to end the session on this, because the next madhmoon, the next subject that we are going to cover, which is the second subject of this surah, is going to take a little bit of time. It's going to probably take a full session in itself, and I don't want to start the topic and then break off halfway. So the second, the answer is that people who will enter into Jahannam due to their sins being greater than their good deeds, they did not exist at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the explanation to that is also very simple, because who were the people that became Muslim at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Sahaba. And the Sahaba, they will never, ever, ever, ever enter into Jahannam. They will not even see the smoke of Jahannam. They will not even experience the winds of Jahannam. Inshallah, in the next session, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life, then, and gives us tawfiq, we will cover many different topics pertaining to the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, and also, it's a very relevant time as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that we were to cover this topic in the month of Muharram, which is very relevant to the things that will be going on in the early parts of Muharram and during the time of Ashura, which will probably come roughly around next week anyway. So inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq. Next week we will cover this topic, and at the time, inshallah, we'll cover then. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true love and understanding of the Holy Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true love, respect, honor for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, every single one of them without exception. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to apply the sunnah into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.